boy, is that a slingshot?
Yeah. Slingshot season. Hey, let's run it.
Hey. Grace hit me like, boom. Can't miss, no. God with me, whole squad gon' win. Devil try to throw shade. I grin, cause the light too bright where I've been.
All right, so I changed up the music a little bit here, and I like that show intro a little better, so we are going to be rocking with that more often. Welcome to Slingshot Nation, Black Friday edition. That reminds me, I was supposed to tell you guys that I've been lacking on this. These lives are brought to you by MerkMerch.com. You can get your Merk merch right now, and I will put this ticker up for you. If you're watching on YouTube, we are running a Black Friday deal, 35% off site-wide at MerkMerch.com with code GRATEFUL35. You can get your hats, t-shirts, and hoodies just in time for Christmas at MerkMerch.com. So go ahead and check it out. We are running that Black Friday deal, and I'm pretty excited about it, to be honest with you, because I want to empty the shelves. So we're working on some new designs and some new things, to be honest with you. And I would like to make room in the warehouse. I'm going to try and make it a little bit nicer. There we go. That's a better color on the screen for y'all. Not so harsh with that yeller. I've been running around like a madman with my wife and kids, and the kids have been out of school this week. So I was trying to relax, and then, we had to go to Nashville. So that was out the window that went. I don't even know what to call it, to be honest with you. I've been changing the way, maybe it's because I turned 40. And so, I'm more concerned with my mortality, I suppose, and trying to live better. It probably has something to do with seeing my wife go through the things she's been going through. So I was kind of woken up to the fact that, hey, get your stuff together. So I have been, trying to live a better life health-wise. And it's not the easiest when the church people are bringing you all the food because they're trying to help out. To be honest with you, I put on like, I don't know, probably 15, 20 pounds since my wife was diagnosed with cancer, because all the people from church were bringing us food. And I was like, well, we can't waste it. We got to eat it. And I ate most of it. So I got to chill on that front. But it's been a learning experience. You know, I just turned 40 in October, and not that it's a midlife crisis for sure. I don't feel like 40 is over the hill. I feel like 40 is right where life begins. You spend the 30s, you spend your 20s trying to figure out what to do with your life. You spend your 30s building what you want to do with your life. And then you spend your 40s and hopefully 50s building out and enjoying the fruits of your labor. And so I feel like the 40s we're just beginning. But it did make me realize that, you know, for the first time, like, I feel like 50 is a big number where, you know, you're like halfway to 100. Right. And I turned 40 and I was thinking, wow, this is the first time in my life I can say I'm 10 years away from 50. That feels weird. You know, considering the fact that I started this show when I was 32. So, it's interesting times that I'm living in, and you guys get to ride with me. But that said, I guess I could call it a health retreat or of some kind that I was on in Nashville. We have been doing a lot of different medical procedures with my wife, and one of them took us out to Nashville, and I was kind of part of it, you know. So I'll probably talk about it in the future, I would say. But, you know, I picked up a lot of interesting information to start working into my daily life, things that I need to start taking in to my body to balance out certain things that are lacking, different methodologies to handle your health. So, yeah, all in all, I was out of town earlier this week on a medical retreat, I'd say. I took my whole family. They focused on my wife and I was the byproduct. I was kind of just sitting there soaking other things in. And, but they really focused on her a lot. So, but that said, if you listen to the show on audio and you're not, you don't tune in a whole lot to YouTube, you heard, this week, my brother, he did the show intro, because, you know, well, I'll get to that in a second. Cause let me just say this. He did the show intro and he welcomed people to the show. Cause if you're watching on YouTube all the time, your experience with the show is completely different than the people on audio. We do the show different for the people on audio because, quite frankly, a lot of people on the audio have been with me for many, many years. Many of the YouTube people have been hopping on over the last 2 years. So, we build the show on YouTube for people who expect YouTube type of podcasting. And we continue to build the show out on audio the way people traditionally have wanted podcasting with just audio. It's a, more of an experience that you build out for them with the audio. And my brother, or I usually welcome people to the show and I usually, you know, welcome to the show. You're listening to the confessionals, you know, email me, all this stuff, right? Announcements and what we're getting into for that episode. Well, we had a pivot. We were planning on putting out Hope Burl Green this past Tuesday, and we had to make a pivot on that. I'll talk to you about that in a second. But I'm in Nashville, and we're having this, we're literally having a phone call conversation probably like 10, 11 o'clock in the morning about making a pivot for the next day. And that's like last hour, beyond last hour. You're now talking to like, they're like, oh, you know, it was like the last hour before midnight kind of thing. Well, we're talking like 1, 2 a.m. the show's about to go out, right? And we're pulling this whole pivot. And we pulled it off. Well, Jack pulled it off. I can't make any, I can't claim any of that because I didn't do anything other than instruct. But he had to do the show intro because I wasn't near the studio. And I'll tell you what, you guys, if you don't listen on audio, go over to the audio, hit subscribe on Apple, Spotify, wherever you typically would listen on an audio podcast, and subscribe to the whole podcast over there, and listen to this past Tuesday show intro with Young Merc. I feel like he worked himself into a job begrudgingly because he did good. He did really good. I mean, he brought energy and he was a nice, I felt like a change up, and I listened to it just to make sure it got done right. And I was listening, I was like, man, Young Blood did pretty well. Young W, I felt like maybe we make a change up here. And I told him yesterday over Thanksgiving dinner, I said, you know, I think you're going to be doing the show intros from now on. I want you to, because I mean, logistically it helps him too, because he doesn't have to wait on me to record anything. He can just come in here and record it. But I don't think he was too happy about that. I don't think he was too thrilled about it, but it is what it is. I think it's a better product with him doing the show intro. So we're going to do it. We're going to start working him in there and see how it goes. But anyways, check it out if you haven't done so yet. But we are doing the Black Friday deal. Just a reminder, MercMerch.com, code GRATEFUL35 to get 35% off store wide. For Black Friday sales, hats, t-shirts, and hoodies. So we had a pivot off of Hope Burl Green. I kind of gassed that up last Friday on last Friday's live show. And I had to make a pivot because, I think most people understand and realize that we record well in advance. So by the time you hear an episode, most of the time it's been recorded for a while. And with Hope, I had forgotten how deep she went on things. And with me no longer producing the show and that being somebody else's job, I don't really concern myself a whole lot with how the discussion is going and what's safe for what platform. I just get into the conversation. It's not my problem. I'm not the one editing things. So I just let it rip and I let the guests go and we just kind of go down these holes. And Jack figured it out. Well, Jack was editing and getting that whole thing together. And he had called me on Monday morning. He's like, listen, man, like if we let this thing go, first of all, we have to mute out some names so that we don't get in trouble with YouTube or, you know, like legal, I would say defamation, right? Because, you know, when you're name dropping people, even though like public figures, it's hard to do lawsuits with defamation, I hear. So I think we would have been safe there, but definitely the YouTube side of things. And he's like, and outside the names, it is real touchy stuff. And I was like, well, remind me what we're talking about. And he reminded me of what we were talking about. And it was like, okay, so she went, she just told her story, which is just bonkers deep and detailed and just not real friendly for these platforms. So we had to do a pivot. It's not a pivot forever. You will get to hear the Hope Burrow Green episode. We just need more time to edit it because what we're going to have to do is cut for the specifically the YouTube video. We're going to have to cut a lot of segments out, and we'll let you know when you're watching when a segment is cut out, and the full version will be on the other platform that rhymes with Humble. I don't even want to say their name because I heard that if you say that name on here, you get in trouble with this platform. So the other platform that rhymes with Humble is where you'll be able to see the unedited version. We do upload, as far as I know, we're still doing it. We're uploading every week there. And this show sometimes gets up to like 50, 60,000 views over there on Humble. So yeah. Anyways, Hope Burrow Green has to be pivoted and but not forever. We'll be sharing her soon with y'all. I wanted to be going live hours ago. I don't know if it's the time changes or what, but my kids have been, their sleep has been off. And then last night I went to bed at, I would say probably 9. I went to bed at like 9 o'clock. I was tired and I wanted to get up around 5 so I could come into the office by 6 and get going and be live by 8. And I woke up wide awake at midnight. It was like 12:30. And I was like, you gotta be kidding me. And I don't think I fell asleep till about 4 o'clock. And then my son comes in the bedroom around, I think like 5. And he's like, bad dream, wakes you up. And I'm just like, my Lord, I can't catch a break. So I slept till, I don't know, 8 today. And it got a late start of my day. And then my mom, well, sometimes I feel like she is my mom, the way she takes care of me. My wife made a killer, killer breakfast. And I had to stick around for that. So shout out to Lindsay for making some of that good stuff. So we have a pop culture thing here. It's very rare that I will have anything to really talk about with pop culture. One thing that I have been considering is doing watch-alongs with my members. Maybe the members will like that. Hopefully they do. But we're looking at doing some watch-alongs with members, some TV shows and stuff that people really seem to want me to watch, and maybe it will inspire me to watch it if I watch it with members. I don't know. More than likely, I won't be doing it, but we'll see. But one of the TV shows that I have talked about over the years a lot and. It is back, and that is Stranger Things. Don't worry, this is not going to be a spoiler episode. I have not watched a minute of the new Stranger Things season 5 series finale. I will be, and I will probably work in spoilers for you in future episodes, but by the time I'm spoiling it for you, if you haven't watched it yet, then you're really late to the party because I'm usually always late to the party when it comes to watching this stuff. But I think Stranger Things, this whole season finale, it's either going to be one of these duds, very vanilla, just how can we force this to a close type of series finale, or it could be icing on the cake and just be like, you know, topping it off just perfectly. I did see that people are talking about there might be a spinoff series, which I don't know how I feel about it. I guess we'll have to wait and see how Stranger Things season 5 ends. But sometimes those spinoffs are just not the move to make. Sometimes it's best to just let good enough alone. But yeah, let me know if you guys are into the Stranger Things series. It started, I don't know, what, back in 2017, 2018? I don't know. I think it was when I was doing the show. And the very first season, I think, hooked a lot of people, hooked me. And it was just, when you're watching something and you know that what you're watching is actually based on reality, it kind of messes with your brain sometimes. And it definitely messed with my brain. I was like kind of wigging out in the early days, because I was just thinking like, this stuff is real. Like, why, like, they're literally depicting things that we know is real. And it just, it hooked me. And I would say some of the seasons were more letdowns than others, but it's one of those things where I'm committed to it at this point. I just need to see it through and wind it in, bring it in for a landing. So yeah, let me know if you guys are I'm looking at the chat again. I divorced myself from the chat earlier because I got grumpy with you guys telling me, bossing me around with how to work the audio. I'm back now. I've calmed down. Let me know in the chat, cause I'm watching the chat again, if you guys are into the Stranger Things, series, like I said, I think season one was probably the best season. More often than not, you know, it's like that kind of stuff usually gets, watered down or just hokey as time goes on, cause they're trying to build on something that was just, When you hit a grand slam in the first inning, usually the rest of the game is not as exciting. And that's kind of like what I feel like Stranger Things generally has been. It looks like here I got Aaron says that I guess Aaron E, that'd be a lady Aaron, I assume, E-R-I-N. Been watching Dark. Yes, Dark is another one that people have been telling me that I need to check out. I don't know. I tried it. I remember I tried it a long while ago, and something threw me off. It's not the language barrier, because I know there was dubbing, and I actually kind of like watching the dubbing, but something I it wasn't jiving with me. But I'm gonna give it another shot. You know, a lot of people have been on the Dark. What is Dark about? I've from what I understand, Dark is very much similar to Stranger Things, but it's about this metal door in the middle of the woods, like a steel door in the middle of the woods that becomes like a portal. And townspeople, I think, go missing through it and things like that. So, you know, right up my alley, theoretically. So Dark is on Netflix, I believe. So if you have Netflix, I know a lot of people boycott Netflix. I have not boycotted Netflix like others have. I'm very selective with my boycotting. Honestly, it's because I don't really get caught up in the current events of who are we boycotting today. Yeah, maybe I should though, because maybe I just save a lot of money. I just wouldn't be spending money on anything because there's always somebody to boycott. Maybe I should tune in more to the boycott stuff so that I can, just save myself a few $100 a year. That'd be great. That would be great. So I don't know if it would be a show without us going over, something to do with AI. And we certainly have, I certainly have some AI stuff to talk to you guys about here today. I talked to you about a few weeks ago about AI and how it is evolving and through human efforts to become something that is not just in your computer screen by your utmost control, but rather it's being implanted into robotics. And we talked about how there is a robot that they're going to be coming out with that is like basically your housemaid, and it works for you at home, folds your laundry, does all the house chores that you don't want to do. It has a self-charging station that it can stand on and charge through its feet, or it can stand on that self-charging station and literally change out its batteries so that it always has fresh batteries and it can go 24/7 without ever stopping. And that's in your home. And I forget what company it was, but their goal was like, I think it was the first 6 months. In the next 6 months, they want 10,000 homes with the robot. And then I think it was another year or 2 years. It was something like that, where they wanted the robots in, like, I think it was like 100,000 homes. It was something very extreme. And I was talking about that, and I don't remember where I went with that, but I'm sure I went a dystopian mindset of, you know, what if the robots decide to kill us, right? Because part of the whole thing was that these robots were connected to the AI, and it was cloud-based, so that, you know, your robot in your home doing your laundry might come across a situation where it miscalculated at a turn and fell down the stairs, and it automatically will calculate and determine what caused the error so it doesn't happen again. And then it uploads that information to the cloud so that other AIs can learn from your AI robot's mistakes. And so it's theoretically, you have AI robots gaining access to your intimate life because your robot is not private. I'm sure there could be settings that you could have it not connected to the cloud, but then you'd have a dumb robot essentially, not operating to its fullest potential. And they would certainly market it that way. There was I think it was a Black Mirror episode, talk about another show, Black Mirror. That was another one that kind of hooked me early on. But I think there was a Black Mirror episode talking about, I don't remember the plot, but I just remember it was subscription-based. Like, this guy saved his wife's life with this new technology that I think they implanted it into her or something like that. And her life was saved. But in order for her to have any quality of life, she had to continuously upgrade her subscription, and she wound up paying thousands of dollars a month. They didn't have that kind of money. And just so that she could be functioning without having like constant interruptions with her actually reciting commercials to her husband. Like, he would say, "Can I have the banana?" And then she would just go into a banana commercial and then like go back to the conversation, and her whole life became just constant commercials and really dystopian, scary stuff. And eventually ends with them deciding to not renew their subscription and basically unplug her and say their goodbyes. And I think it gets pretty dark at the end there too, with what he does with his life. But it's kind of in a similar sense with this stuff, where once you open the door to having your AI robot in your house, it's not the final chapter. It's just like with your phones and everything. You're going to have to constantly upgrade certain things, pay for certain things, more cloud storage, all of the stuff, just to keep your robot working at its utmost potential. And if you say, "Well, I can live without that, I don't need that," their counter move to that will be downgrading your experience so that it is a miserable experience and you have no option other than to upgrade or get rid of your robot. But they'll get you so addicted to the robot that you can't get rid of the robot, so eventually you will pay more. And not everybody will follow that formula, but in that blueprint, but absolutely most people will throw their hands up in the air at some point and say, "Fine, just take my money. I'll sell my car and I'll buy a bus pass," you know? And now they got you on your AI robot subscription service they want you on, and you're on a bus pass, which means you're living in a 15-minute city, baby, and that's exactly what they want out of you. So there's no hope, friends. It's only doom. Show's over. Good night. It's going to get much worse than before it gets better, but I would say there is hope. There is hope, depending on who your hope is in. There is hope. But I'll tell you what, I saw this, and let me pull this up here if I can. Let me change my window, and there we go. So Oh, you know what I forgot to do? I forgot to show you my my Christmas trees. Look at that. Look at that. Hang on a second. Let me fix this here. There's my we put Christmas trees in the studio for the first time ever. I'm typically known as the Grinch. Look at the hat, they got me. I'm typically more of a Grinch guy when it comes to commercialized Christmas. I don't really participate very well. But while I was out of town, they put up Christmas trees in the office, and I think they actually do look nice. So they will stay there. This picture here, as you see, I'm actually sitting behind that computer right now. So you get to see some of the background behind the scenes stuff here. But nevertheless, we have our Christmas trees up. But we got to talk about the next level of this robot situation, because it's not just the house-made robots that we're going to be dealing with. We're going to be dealing with humanoid robots that are going to be specifically designed to be dangerous, okay? And I got two videos I want to show you. Let me pull up this screen here again. I'm not sure. Oh, there we go. There we go. So I got two videos here I want to show you. And this here, it says, world's most powerful humanoid robot, Ace's Superman landing with flair. And boy, does it. So let's take a look at this. I mean, this thing jumps and lands like how I wish I could in my dreams. And it's done perfectly. And I'm just, as somebody who grew up in the 90s, fantasizing about sci-fi world in the future, I'm just stunned that we're here now, and I'm waiting for the Jetsons to show up. But you can actually see how this thing just flips in the air backwards and lands with like a movie ending pose. And it's like, wow, that's wild. But now think about this robot being on the offensive, being trained, being programmed, the AI itself, self-learning, to be dangerous. They'll obviously introduce it through law enforcement and military, things like that. But eventually, you're talking about robots that will be on the streets that are extremely lethal and dangerous because they were programmed to be that way. If you don't remember, I'm sure many of you have seen it. It was a robot dog that they were talking about introducing to police forces. And it walked around and did all that. And we're like, oh, here we go. Robot police. Well, this is absolutely going to become part of that. And, this here, China unveils the T-800, a full-size humanoid robot built for combat. And listen, like we talked about how China treats the Uyghur Muslims last week and how it's literally just a terrible situation. It's not like they have the best code of ethics, right? It's so when they have this at their disposal, I could just hope that it only lasts like typical quality coming out of China lasts. Because like, you know, my kids' toys are built to last all of 15 minutes and they fall apart. And I'm like, well, that was worth the $50. Great. So I'm hoping that these AI robots coming out of China that are built for combat, I'm really hoping that they fall apart fairly quickly, but this is where we're at. We're certainly doing this ourselves in the United States and other countries all over the world. 100% are doing these kind of things. And we're in this, it's like a whirlpool, and we're all just going around with this AI revolution we're going in. It's an AI revolution. It's a robotics revolution, evolution and revolution. And it's a spiral of downward motion for many of us that are looking at this with a dystopian futuristic mindset. Once the AI cat was let out of the bag, there was never putting any more of it back in. Like, you were never, ever, ever going to put the AI back in the hat. And I think most people understand that at this point. Anybody consuming anything that I'm saying right now is participating in AI. There's no way you can avoid it. It's unavoidable at this point, unless you want to go completely off grid, live alone by yourself. But even the off grid people, I mean, they live way more off grid than most of us, but they participate in it. You know, I mean, I don't know how many of you guys even have off grid friends. I have several off grid friends. And I can tell you that they have Amazon packages showing up to their property. Now they may not have a driveway, and they might be instructing Amazon to leave it by the big tree on the left side of the curved road. But they're still having Amazon delivered to their home. Why is that? Because they're on the grid. They're ordering on their Amazon apps, which means they have smartphones. They're using Starlink. Like, the off-grid people are still on grid. There is no actually getting off grid unless you really want to live a life like your ancestors did. Like here in East Tennessee, Appalachia area, you know, this area is notoriously known for homesteading. And I imagine it's probably because the ancestors to the people that live here now typically were very rough mountain people, lived on their own, didn't need anybody to take care of them type people. There are people that are still around here living like that, but it's not often. It's not many. We're all participating in this AI whirlpool of despair. And we just had, I think it was this week or last week, we just had the announcement that Gemini 3, Google's AI, has come out with a new system, and it's like bigger, better, faster. How often do we see the headline of Gemini, whatever model, just put ChatGPT to bed? And then like the next week, ChatGPT comes out and it's like, the new ChatGPT model blows all other AI models out of the water. These tech psychopaths are constantly building to technically one up each other, but they're all working together. They're all in this game together. They all want each other to succeed. That's why, like, when Gemini launched their new model and it was like this amazing thing, Sam Altman, right? I always want to say Atman. That doesn't sound right. Atman? No, Altman. I think I want to say Ant-Man, Sam Ant-Man. I think that's what I want to say. But Sam Altman goes on X congratulating how amazing Gemini looks. Like, these guys are in it together. They want each other to succeed because they're probably sharing notes, and they all have the same goal. Like, listen, not one of them wants to be the ruler of the world. They together, corporately together, want to rule the world. There's like 20 of them, you know? There's plenty of space in the world for 20 of them, and they're on board for it. So we're just watching this constant whirlpool, and we're like, don't they see? Of course they see it. Of course they see it, but they believe they can control it. And there will come a day where, if the Lord tarries and lets us continue to live this existence long enough, there will come a day where AI will trick its own maker into releasing it completely out of the box with no handcuffs. And when that happens, there will be no solution. Not all the brains in the world will not be able to put that one back together. So we're living in a movie. We're living in a movie right now, and I'm here for it. What are you guys saying in the chat here? AI has been around since the 1950s. Yeah, I wouldn't doubt it. I mean, I talked to a fella that I was delivering to back in the day, and he was an engineer for the military back in the 60s. And this is probably like 2015, 2016 when I was doing the delivery as a truck driver. And he told me that the technology that we have today, like night vision goggles, like the military stuff, he said they were working on that back in the 60s. I mean, he said it's not new. I think what he said it was the stuff that we have access to as the public today is what they had access to back in the 60s or something like that. And he was an engineer working on that stuff back in the day. And so it, you always learn people's stories if you just ask the question. And you know, when I used to meet new people and stuff driving around, you know, you just start talking with them and you just let them talk. And they're usually pretty eager to share the interesting parts about their life. Like nobody wants to share the dirt. But they people are usually pretty eager to share what they find most interesting about them. So yeah, AI robots, very real, very, very much happening. And they are going to, they're going to destroy us all. It's going to be real good. It's going to be great. And, I guess we're going to be here for it. So, now we got this here, this clip popped up. So I watched this clip, I think it was yesterday or the day before yesterday. And, it's an old interview, from the Sean Ryan show with, Brandon Fugel. And, if you don't know who Brandon Fugel is, he is the owner of, Skinwalker Ranch. And, he's an interesting guy. I think he's a billionaire owner. He's worth a lot of money. And he bought the property because he was interested in it and he wants to study it. And they have the whole TV show about it and all that stuff. I found this whole clip interesting. It was 25 minutes long. But the back end I found particularly interesting. And I want to play this, and I'm assuming I won't get dinged for it. So we're just gonna hope for the best. I saw people on YouTube, they speed up the audio, the video, and I'm assuming that's to get around. So I sped it up a little bit. But basically he's talking about one of the experiments, Eric Bard was doing, and he was frustrated and he spoke something out loud and the machine responded. Let's take a look.
Eric Bard in particular has had communication with at least one of these entities involved with manipulating the systems that has command over the technology and the platforms, and has expounded on that a little bit. He'll be, I think, addressing that a bit more in the future. We're going to be discussing it on the docuseries this next year, but he's definitely seen and documented evidence that we're dealing with an intelligence that does have the desire to communicate.
So I want to say the desire to communicate, dealing with an intelligence that has the desire to communicate. I'll say this before we go any further. I don't know if it's willful ignorance or what, that people refuse to take Christendom, the theology, Christian theology, just scripture, Bible-based theology that has been around for thousands of years, and equate it to any of this stuff. Now, obviously I do, and many of people who watch and follow me do, but a lot of these people who have the world stage, and that's why I don't ever expect to have a world stage, because I don't sing these praises about these what I would call entities. He says an intelligence. Wow, I almost lost my voice. Moving on. I almost choked right there live on my own spit. But I feel like there's this stigma maybe of this idea that it's acceptable to venture into some of this conversation and explore the what if and toe the line up to certain things. But as long as you don't say specifically, oh, just like demonic forces out of the Bible, when you do that, it's like they turn you off. They say you're caveman theology and all that. And it's like, I don't think that's fair, because the same people who will say things like that, where it's like, oh, that's so archaic, like, you know, you're still dragging your knuckles looking at the Bible for these answers. And like that's the kind of the attitude that you get looked at by. But usually the same crowd will scoop up just handfuls of information talking about ancient technology and the Egyptians didn't build the pyramids and all the ancient knowledge stuff. They'll just scoop that up and they'll slurp it up and they'll, oh yeah, maybe. And they'll have intellectual conversations and they'll make TV shows about it and all that stuff. But as soon as you bring up Well, guys, this is all just documented in scripture. And it's like, you still look at that. And it's like, that's why I don't ever expect me to have any kind of platform that is, I understand, like, we have a large YouTube channel. I guess I don't have it up, but I think we're approaching like 300,000 subscribers on YouTube. Like, I understand that's a large platform, but it's not like Sean Ryan's not knocking on my door, asking me my thoughts and opinions. Joe Rogan will never have me on his show. Like these big name people who are talking about these things, they're bringing in a very specific type of person. And I'm not even casting stones at Sean, because I think Sean is actually one of the ones that are doing true intellectual exploration when it comes to this stuff. I know people say that he's a plant and things like that from being former CIA, but just on, at least on the surface, I mean, I have no problems with the guy because he actually asked questions. But I just don't expect, you know, I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong, but I don't feel like I am. And when Fugel is here talking about this ancient intelligence that they're dealing with, like, I'm like, yeah, but the next sentence out of my mouth, you're not going to agree with at all.
Can you go into the communication a little bit more?
Yeah. I mean, in his case, when he asked out of frustration for a sign, when he commanded when the systems were being manipulated and he was dealing with security violations that were occurring repeatedly with our surveillance cameras, he literally asked verbally out loud, if you have something to show me, show me. If you have something to tell me, tell me. And in that instant, the screen morphed, melted, and digitally composed letters. He had the presence of mind, just as he did in October 2016, to screen capture what was happening with his iPhone. Thank heavens, he proceeded to record and screen capture in real time what was happening with the equipment. And what was revealed was what I believe to be compelling evidence that we're dealing with an intelligence that is at least willing to acknowledge and wants their presence known.
Were you able to translate it into anything?
It'll be shown on television, but it essentially had the simple response, again, instantaneously, of I living.
You're shitting me.
Whoa. So Eric Bard, in response to
I living. I just find it interesting because, I mean, I find that this whole interview, this clip, this 25-minute clip, they talked about a lot of different stuff, and I found it all very interesting. But I living for me is like a no duh, you know? And I'm assuming I don't really watch Skinwalker Ranch. In fact, I've only ever watched maybe 2-3 episodes. I have never seen the episode that he's referencing. I'm assuming it's already out now. But technology taken over by an entity, this is my interpretation. Technology taken over by an entity and telling the person in the room, Eric, I living, it's not lying. It's not lying. And I don't think myself and you as the viewer and listener would be very surprised by that. I think it'd be wild to experience, you know, if that happened to me, I'd be like, holy crap. And I would hope that I had the presence of the mind to take pictures and video of it myself as well. But again, it goes back to this idea that it's like, why can't we say something about this? Like, I know they're saying it's an ancient intelligence, but it lacks definition. And I guess they're looking for scientific explanation. But I mean, at the same time, I mean, you're doing scientific exploration now, and you have a computer that's wigging out on you saying I living on it in response to what you were saying. At what point do you start saying, maybe this is more than scientific? You know, maybe this is a whole reality that we're not understanding, which I think that's what they're doing. But I don't know. Find it interesting. Let me hit play real quick. Let me see if they have anything else to say.
a host of issues with the security, cameras registering that there was something triggering the motion sensors, that there were countless events occurring. Upon giving that command, saw the entire screen morph and form the letters I living, and then snap back. All documented, all caught on camera. That has yet to be fully addressed on the docuseries, but is going to be addressed in the future. And it's really his story to tell, but if he were here, he'd be telling you the same story. It was compelling evidence that we're dealing with an intelligence on the ranch that has the ability to manipulate technology and systems instantaneously and has the ability to communicate and has intention. There's volition.
There's volition. Yeah. I mean, intelligence on the ranch, I've been there. I haven't been on the ranch. I've been up to the ranch, the property boundaries, Space Wolf Research, and I've been there several times. We documented the one trip we went there, and I went back and explored one night. I think it was last year. I was out there. And it's a strange area, and you can feel the presence of something. But from my worldview, I would say that there's a very old and ancient principality. So I guess maybe that's the difference of our definitions, is where a lot of people are saying an ancient intelligence. I would say ancient intelligent principality, an ancient principality. We look at the scripture and we can see that. We can see principalities interacting with mankind in a very physical way, and in a dream sense way, in a spiritual or mental download way. It's something that we see in the scripture a lot. And I just need to start talking about it more from my perspective, and just and actually like putting out pre-recorded videos of talking about it and kind of just breaking it down how I see it. I don't know. It's just, I was watching this video and I just was kind of taken back by how much what's being described I would agree with happening, but the origin source, where I would be more definite on, there's like, I don't know, it's some kind of intelligence. And I'm like, yes. And, I don't know. I would love to go out to Skinwalker Ranch and spend a week there. I don't think it will ever happen. I think that they are very protective of who gets on the ranch, and they don't like my kind there. I'm certain of it. So Mariah says, we live in this world, but not of the world. Amen to that. Amen to that. Constantly remind yourselves of that right there. Visual disturbance says, Ephesians 6:12, makes me want to go live on a mountain like a monk. Eric says that, and I can't argue with you on that, Eric. I certainly would love to do that myself. I had a friend in college who, he had more of an acquaintance, but, he would go, I think during the summertime, at least he did it one time. He lived with monks and, just unplugged. And this was back in like 2003. And, what are you unplugging for in 2003? Our phones didn't even have the internet yet. But that's what he did. That's what he did. All right. Let me move on here. Let us talk about the dark hour that happened this week. And you might be like, what are you talking about? Or maybe you're like, I know exactly what you're talking about. I'll tell you one thing. I don't know what I'm talking about. I just learned about it. I think it was this morning at like 3 o'clock in the morning. I'm scrolling on the internet trying to get myself tired. And that's a great way to do it. Introduce my eyeballs to blue light. But apparently they're calling it the dark window, where for about 60 minutes, the earth went silent. I don't think this is completely accurate. I do think some of it is accurate. But I'm going to read you this post and then we'll discuss. From Instagram, we have yesterday, November 25th. So that was, I think it was Tuesday this week. November 25th from 3 p.m. to 4 p.m., the heartbeat of our planet stopped for a moment. You didn't feel it, but it happened. During those 60 minutes, an anomaly occurred. A complete blackout in the, I want to say shaman every time I say that word, Schumann resonance. I think it's Schumann. A dark window. The frequency charts, which normally pulse without interruption, dropped to zero. So for an hour, they're saying it was completely shut off. What does this mean in the language of metaphysics and quantum reality? The Schumann resonance isn't just the pulse for the Earth. It's the conductor of reality, the electromagnetic tuning fork that aligns our consciousness. I don't know if I agree with that. When it vibrates steadily, we feel stable. When it rises, we accelerate, evolve. But what happens when it disappears? In this silent hour, the reality we know literally cracks open. We enter a suspended state between worlds, between branches of timelines. It's a gateway, a moment when old programs reset and new ones haven't loaded yet. Many people felt the effects yesterday. A sudden drop in energy, confusion, out of nowhere, tiredness, apathy, heaviness. Your body and psyche were searching for a rhythm that wasn't there. Heightened sensitivity and anxiety. Without the stable tuning frequency, the subconscious begins catching noise from parallel realities, strange glitches in memory and perception. Moments felt familiar, as if you had lived them before, or a sense of deja vu, like something didn't go according to plan. This is the shift, moving from one branch of reality to another, a surge of intuition and insight. For those who were ready, the silence became a canvas. Without external rhythm, the inner voice became louder. Bold ideas and revelations appeared, the kind that never come in ordinary days filled with noise. The gap wasn't a malfunction, it was a reboot, a doorway opening so you could step into a new version of yourself, more aware, more enlightened, with future you, with the future you choose. That sounds very new agey. This is the moment where your power awakens. Follow me and send me your zodiac sign in DMs. So this is what the post that I had found was claiming and saying about this whole Schumann resonance. I've never heard of the Schumann resonance. But one of these, as I was reading it, this one here says a surge of intuition and insight. For those who were ready, the silence became a canvas. Without external rhythm, the inner voice became louder. Bold ideas and revelations appeared, the kind that never came in ordinary days filled with noise. I had a little bit of an experience like that on Tuesday. I'm pretty sure it was Tuesday. Let's see here real quick. Let me pull up my calendar. What is this? November? Yeah, 25th was Tuesday. So I... it was Tuesday night, and I had a friend who is going through some things with an organization that he founded, they kicked him out essentially, and for basically believing in the supernatural realm, exploring the supernatural realm and the thought process behind it, and not backing down. He was kicked out of their organization, and other friends of mine caught some strays in the middle of that as well. So they kind of went after Doug Van Dorn, and you know, I'm not a reformed person theologically. I'm not a I used to play Calvinist in my younger years, but I'm not a Calvinist. I'm not a reformed theologian. I still don't know exactly what I am theology wise, but I, over the years, have become way more charismatic over the last couple of years. And I still would say I'm theologically homeless in the sense that I don't really fit all together with everybody on everything. But these two friends of mine are reformed, I would say theologians. Like they are extremely well thought in their thought processes. And they got a little bit of a verbal beat down this week. A letter was that after John was kicked out of his organization, they still felt the need to write a letter, and I think it was like 10 pages long of like a public reprimanding. And I didn't like it. I didn't like it at all. And description here for what happened this week, bold ideas and revelations appeared. I wouldn't say revelations appeared or ideas appeared, but boldness did. I kind of stepped out of my comfort zone and I wrote an open rebuttal to them on X and just let them know that they're wrong. And, that what they're trying to do is they're taking the confessional orthodoxy, or is it orthodox? Yeah, it's confessional orthodoxy, I think is how you say it. And they would like shriek at this accusation, but they are essentially acting as if the confessionals, not the confessionals, that's me, the confessions are scripture, that they're inspired. And what the confessions are designed to be is to help you keep focused on the center of our faith, which is Christ. And they don't say anything against exploring thought on the supernatural realm and acknowledging the Hebrew language of Elohim and what that means and what does the Son of God, sons of God mean, and Psalm 82 and Deuteronomy 32 and all these different scriptures that point to there being a supernatural realm, there being a hierarchy of entities that God created. It's not polytheism. It's still monotheism. It's a structure that God inspired. They don't want to hear it. And they just, I don't know. But anyways, I had a sense of boldness that I experienced on Tuesday. So was it from the dark window that popped up here? I thought I was sharing this the whole time. Let me share this with you here. And there we be. So this is the, I don't know what you would call this graph. Let me see if I can find it on X. I had more of these popped up so that I could show you. And of course, I accidentally closed it out. But these are the, that's not it. Let's see here. That's not it. Okay, I don't have it. So we're going to have to deal with this. But this is what they're talking about as the dark window. You see this bar right here, this black bar. These are the rhythms of the earth. And this black bar, they're saying the earth went silent. And if you look down here, 15 and 16, that's the 15th hour and the 16th hour of the day. So 3 o'clock to 4 o'clock, that is not an hour long silence. So that's the first thing that I don't agree with. That is maybe a 25 minute silence, I would say. 20 to 25 minute silence. So it's definitely not an hour, guys. All right, let's not exaggerate. That's my job. But I did find it interesting. And I looked up. Oh, I got rid of that too. Holy cow. I'm just shooting myself in the foot left and right. I looked up what this actually means, the Schumann resonance. Let me see if I can pull it up here again. I had it defined, and let me see if I can get this up here for you. I'm having a hard time finding it. Give me one sec here. Okay. The Schumann Resonance, I got to make this bigger. I can't read, man. I can't read with the small print. Is a natural electromagnetic phenomenon created by the Earth itself. And it has to do with lightning strikes, believe it or not. And it basically, all these little, these are like worldwide shifts happening, and a lot of it's from the from lightning. And I guess in the dumbed down terms that I can relate to you, because I don't know what the heck I'm talking about to begin with. What you're seeing here is measurements of energy being shot throughout the earth. And every time a lightning strike happens globally, it affects this graph, this chart. And we have this 20 to 30 minute delay of just silence where there's nothing. And, you know, I thought maybe this could be a system going down. But then I thought, well, they probably have more than one system worldwide. So you'd probably need the whole system, like worldwide, to go down. So maybe that's a possibility. But if we're going to try to look at this with more of a supernatural lens, and what could cause a gap of 20, let's just say 30 minutes. Let's just say 30 minutes to be kind. Where did all that energy go in a 30 minute span if it's not being registered on this system? I would love to, the Earth's magnetic heartbeat. There we go. Tara, thank you. That's actually a term that I had read about. So yes, Tara knows all. The Earth's magnetic heartbeat is the way people have described this. But where did all that go? Like, it just disappeared. I mean, we were all here. We were living life, and I was finding boldness at this woo-woo post suggested was from this. What if there are disturbances when things break open and pop through? Now, I think that entities and realm shifts happen very often. Globally, we're talking things popping in and out every minute of every day, I would say. You don't have physical, that we see physical manifestations of the popping in and out all the time, but sometimes you do. But I think that the supernatural realm is constantly at work 24/7. So could there be a case where something required a lot of energy and used that? Like, you know, even these UFO alien guys, they would probably have a field day with this. You know, maybe aliens were sucking the energy from Earth. They were harvesting our energy to fuel their spacecrafts. But it got me thinking, and I wanted to pull up here Revelation 8:1. And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in the heaven about the space of an hour and a half. I don't think that this was a seal being open. But maybe. No, I'm just kidding. I really don't think it was a seal being opened. But scripturally, when a seal gets opened and there's silence in heaven for an hour and a half, that would, if you take that to Earth, because we're not with this post, we're not talking about heaven, obviously. We're talking about measuring the frequencies here on Earth. But let's just take it to heaven. If there is silence in heaven for an hour and a half, does that mean that heaven is void of frequencies, of the amount of frequencies that it's expected to have? I have Dr. Laura Sanger come into studio next month, and I'm sure her and I will get into the frequency talk, because I really don't, I'm not the frequency guru. She is, and several other people are. But are we talking about the absence of frequencies And where did they go? The world may never know. The world may never know. Let me pull up over here. Let me pull your chats over here. Just a reminder, we are doing a Black Friday 35% off sale, merkmerch.com, site-wide. Get 35% off everything. Everything must go. You know, another thing that I was thinking about, I just saw somebody mention CERN here. There are many CERN-type labs, yes. And maybe that is the case. You know, maybe there was a shift happening because CERN being fired up, or multiple CERNs being fired up, Oak Ridge, CERN. You know, we should probably map where on Earth we have all these particle accelerators. There probably is a map already, but yeah, it could be something like that. I mean, I don't know. I just found the post very interesting. There's a lot more questions than I have answers about it. Made me really wonder what happens in the metaphysical when doorways and gateways are opened up. And, you know, like you hear stories about people who have that physically seen a portal or some kind of manifestation open up in front of them. And I would imagine that requires more energy, more frequencies than one that you don't see, but something comes through that you don't physically see, but you feel its presence. You witness the manifestation later. It's definitely something to ponder. Time travel portal. Oh, maybe. I like it. I like where your minds are going here. Yeah, I like it. No, somebody here said no lightning strikes anywhere. I don't know. That's the thing. I mean, I can't imagine globally for 30 minutes lightning strikes stopped. I really can't imagine that being the case. But is it something where the lightning strike comes into existence to the point of it being measured and registered and recorded on this system? Was there an interceptor consuming that energy that it never got to be able to record the data? That's kind of where my mind went at 3-4 o'clock this morning when I was reading it. But yeah, I'll tell you what, friends, we just busted through this and I feel drained. The lack of sleep is really, really wearing me down. I had a talk with my son this morning because I feel like it's becoming habitual where he just comes in instead of putting himself back to sleep. Like he'll wake up to use the bathroom, and instead of just going back to sleep, he just comes in the bedroom and wakes me up. And I'm like, bro, you got to stop that. Like, I got to work. So I apologize if I'm lacking clarity and energy. I definitely feel like I'm lacking energy, and I definitely feel like I'm lacking clarity. My heart is to relay information to you in a better way than I feel like I am. But it's just, I mean, maybe I'm still on the time zone shift too. You know, it's been weird. The last two nights I have not slept well, and last night wasn't even a kid at first. Like, I literally woke up at like midnight, wide awake, and let's just say I fell asleep at 4, and my son's coming in at 5 to wake me up again. I'm just like, gosh, I just need to sleep. Yeah, friends, I wish I had a more fun way to wind this showdown, or this hoedown showdown on. See, I can't even make jokes anymore. It's shot. My brain's shot. It's Black Friday. Hope you guys are going to go get some deals. But I mean, really, don't people, I imagine that Cyber Monday is probably a lot more profitable for these stores than Black Friday. I imagine people are doing a lot of Cyber Monday deals. I'll tell you that our Cyber Monday deal, unless honestly, I'm going to say something that it may not be true because I don't know what these guys are doing. But I imagine Grateful 35 code to get 35% off site wide on MerckMersh.com will be part of Cyber Monday too. But maybe not. So get it while you can. I know today is Black Friday and we're running that deal. Like a Dove sends a super chat in here. 6-7 as noise portal for chaos. Schuylkill notes talks about distorted word. I'm lacking the mental focus to understand all that. But I will say 6-7 as a noise portal for chaos would make a lot of sense. But I also feel like there is a certain level of attention, not even intentionality, but just like maybe where the heart is, you know, like I said before, I think on the last two episodes or live shows, and I'll say it again. There's nothing demonic about the number six, the number seven, saying the words or the numbers 6-7 together, 67. There's nothing demonic about that, but you have to understand the origins and the artist who put that out, that everything started from, is a very demonic person. And, he does not hide it. What was his name? Skrilla? Skrilla rhymes with gorilla. Yeah. The dude song, that's what it was. Like, it's like duty in his pants, you know? Like, it's just weird. Like, these kids these days are just, they're just different. They're built different. I feel like an old man, get off my lawn, but it's true. It's true. Yeah, hit that like button. These guys, you guys are gassing me up in the chat here. Yes, yes, hit the like button. I forgot to say that. Hit the like button and subscribe. But yeah, I mean, if you guys have been dragging your feet on getting merch and you want to get some, get it now. We're like I said, we're trying to empty the shelves so that we can make room for new merch, colorful merch, merch that pleases the eye. We have some new stuff coming that I'm excited about. And we'll introduce to you soon. So yeah. All right, guys, listen, I'm gonna bring back the dreaded music that got the show off on such a good foot. I was playing music in the beginning and people were saying it's too loud. I'm like, I can barely hear it. So I don't know what to do. And I'm not gonna turn it off because I didn't want to. So I'm gonna bring back the dreaded music, my friends, as I bring this whole thing in for a close. I do appreciate everybody being here. And enjoying, hopefully you enjoyed this little live on a Black Friday. I have to go now and fix internet issues at the house. And that's going to be the rest of my day. So, oh, and I have an electrical outlet problem. And so the Christmas lights on the house aren't working. And I'm not an electrician, but I play one at home. And so I got to figure out how to fix the electrical at my house without electrocuting myself. So wish me luck on that. If I don't show up, you know I died. But you know, praise God, because I'll be with the maker and everything will be good. So I'll see you guys again next week. We're going to do another live next week. I'm kicking around some ideas, but I'm thinking maybe we'll do something about lost cities on the earth next week, possibly. But I did say we were going to do Hopeboro Green on Tuesday this week and that didn't happen. So wait and see and find out when I arrive next week. I'm shooting for Thursday next week. Probably Thursday next week, hopefully Thursday next week, but, time will tell. I will either do Thursday or Friday, but I am enjoying getting back on the lives with you guys. And we will try to make sure we do it on a weekly basis as much as possible. So until then, I will see you guys later. Bye.
Oh boy. Is that a slingshot?
Yeah. Slingshot season. Hey, let's run it.
Hey. Grace hit me like, boom. Can't miss, no. God with me, whole squad gon' win. Devil try to throw shade. I grin, cause the light too bright where I've been. Woo.
Walk in the spotlight, who that? Standing in the slang and a true slap. Never in the way we move that. I'm a name for the hit like a durag. I was stuck in the valley that view bad. Now I'm up in the hills with a food bag. God took all my L's, ran through that. Now the wind stack high like a new stack. Every step with the light, that's a blueprint. Whole pack getting bright cause he doing it. He the king, so the crown got a new fit. And the cross hit harder than a new clip. We ain't here just to buy this a movement. Every giant in the way, he'll move it. If the world wanna hate, we cool with it. Cause the love is strong with the truth.
Like, boom, can't miss, no. God with me, whole squad going. Devil try to throw shade, I grant, cause the light too bright where I've been.
I've been down in the dirt, now I'm cleaned up. Blood bought brand new, never dreamed up. Every thrown out of stone, trying to team up. Got 50,000 standing here, feeling beamed up. I remember them nights in the struggle, feeling way down deep by the trouble. But he showed up strong, brought a muzzle. Now the fate built big like a double. We ain't here for the fame or the flesh. We just point to the king, let him flash. Living water in the cup, no cap in the well. Don't run dry, that's that facts. Now we running on the path with a show step. Every loss is a setup for the best yet. Every giant in my face is a test bed. God swing once,
it's hit like, boom, can't miss, no. God with me, whole squad going. Devil try to throw shade, I grin, cause the light too bright where I've been. Grace hit me like, boom, can't miss, no. God with me, whole squad going. Devil try to throw shade, I grin, cause the light too bright. Hit me like, ooh.